Praise God for another day, another morning that He has graciously given to us that we may rejoice in His presence, particularly in the Word of God, which is so wonderfully true, wonderfully gracious, and full of wisdom, that God's people may increase in faith day after day. And they may find the fruit of their faith by studying God's Word. Now, we have learned three topics by now. First, the nature of genuine faith. And secondly, the necessity of faith. And thirdly, last night we learned what is nominal faith. Nominal faith is something that is very common even in Christian churches. And we have seen it was so common even in our Lord Jesus' time while He was on earth. A lot of people who followed Him were not people of faith. Quite a number of them. In fact, even huge crowds were made up of such people, as we saw last night from John chapter 6. Now, before we go into today's topic, which is nurture of faith, we will have two messages on that topic. I would like to ask you, what do you think of these statements that I'm going to make? Whether they represent nominal faith or genuine faith, okay? You tell me whether it is nominal faith or genuine faith. The first statement is this. I like to go to church because most of my friends go there, but I don't like to hear the sermons. Nominal faith. Many a time I've been tempted and sinned, but I want to change. I will confess my sin and I will pray for spiritual strength to overcome sin and also strive to obey His word. Genuine faith. So you know, even those who have sin can fall into sin, but they will repent quickly. All right. The third statement. I like to hear sermons which are interesting, but I'm not ready to change my lifestyle according to what is preached from the Bible. Nominal faith. I think that the Bible is a good book that teaches many good principles of life. But I do not agree that it is the true word of God which I must obey. Nominal faith. I sometimes fear that my faith is not real because I doubt whether God's promises will work for me. But I know I must believe them and pray that God will strengthen my faith. Genuine faith. So we need to pray today that God will strengthen our faith. And we are going to learn how to nurture our faith today. Okay? Now, here are some questions for you, which I would suggest you ask yourself to see whether you really have genuine faith or not. If all of your answers are yes, then I believe your faith is genuine. First, do you believe that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior whom God has prepared for your salvation? Do you believe that Jesus died and resurrected for your salvation? Do you accept the Bible as God's word? Are you willing to change your life in obedience to all that it teaches? Are you willing to love Jesus Christ more than all else, knowing that He loves you perfectly? Girls, are you willing to love the Lord more than your boyfriend? Don't just say yes, you know. Think carefully. That is not to say go home and tell your husband, I don't love you anymore, I only love Jesus Christ. That's not the point, okay? The Lord wants you to love your husbands too. All right, but not beyond Christ. In other words, if the husband tells you to do something that is displeasing to the Lord, you must tell him, sorry, darling, that's not the way. I still love you, but don't ask me to do that which is displeasing to the Lord. Okay. One more question for you. Are you willing to live your life for the honor and glory of Christ? If you are sincere about your answers, and if you said yes, I think you truly love him and your faith is real. Nonetheless, the answers have to be sincere. All right. So those questions that I've asked were actually a way of getting you to revise what we have learned thus far. Now we will move on to our new topic. Let's pray and we begin. Our Father in heaven, there is none beside thee. Thou art the Creator, the Sovereign God. Thou art our loving God who gave his only begotten Son for our salvation. Thou art our eternal friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. In our troubles, in our sorrows, in our disappointments, Lord, thou art with us. Yea, even to the end of the world, you have promised to be with us, and therefore we give you thanks. But Father, we admit very quickly that we often lack fullness of faith. We have fallen into doubts. We have sometimes disobeyed thee. Lord, truly, we find ourselves in need of strengthening our faith. May you help us to nurture the faith that you have given to us. May you feed us with thy word, even this morning, that we may adhere to the wonderful words of life at all times, and there our faith may flourish like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And this is our prayer, Father. Please grant us this request that we have, that we may know thee as thou art. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like the growth of a newborn babe, the faith of a new Christian must grow. A faith that is not growing is not a genuine faith. It's a dead faith. We must pray like the apostles prayed in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. And this is not something for children to pray. Even for grown up Christians, I meant that those who have been in the faith for many years. Even those who are in the evening years must pray, Lord, increase my faith. Every day we must pray, because every stage of life brings to us circumstances which we have never experienced. Every day brings new experiences, new challenges, new trials, new issues to deal with. So we need to have the fresh air, the fresh blessings from the Lord to keep our faith strong. You know, you can't try to live today based on what you ate 2 weeks ago, right? You need good food. We thank God for very good breakfast that we all had. I'm sure you are all charged up, right? And the young people were already playing outside. Some were playing cricket. Then when I saw them throwing balls, I thought, not really cricket, but they're just throwing the ball. And when I saw that, I remembered my own young, youthful days, you know. Every time when we have a church camp, the first thing in my mind is to play. Get all my friends from different parts of India, and we come together for camps like this, and that's the time we have some fun playing soccer or badminton or cricket. And so when I see all the young fellows up in the morning and, you know, very vibrant, it was exciting to watch them. There they go. They're all walking backward today. All right. Okay, so well, in Christian life, if you don't feed on God's word, you won't grow much. And the genuine faith that God has created will always have the desire to grow. Even when they sometimes backslide, deep within there, they know it's not the right way. This is not the way God wants me to be. So they struggle and struggle. And by God's grace, they will overcome in time to come. But if someone who says that, look, I truly believe in Jesus, but I have no desire to fellowship with Christians, have no desire to pray, I have no desire to study God's word, but I'm a believer, he's fooling himself. Increasing our faith is natural to a genuine faith. Now, I want you to consider with me two verses before I take you to the major text for our study. And the first of this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. So turn with me to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. And we shall read verse 3. Okay, let us read together. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Apostle Paul has a word of commendation for the believers in the church in Thessalonica. He said about them that their faith groweth exceedingly. How about your faith? Can your pastor, Reverend Stephen Koo, say, I thank God for these people in my church, and I see them growing exceedingly? If he says they are growing, I think that's really a remarkable commendation. But if the pastor can say they are growing exceedingly, I think that pastor is a very happy pastor. My first son is one head taller than me now. He is only 15 years old, but he's taller than his dad. So I have to look up to him. And my second son is not growing well. He is rather short. He is only up to here. And he is now 12 years old. So it's a big difference between the first one and the second one. And sometimes my second one will come to me and say, Dad, why am I not growing? Dad, how come I'm so short? Now, his younger sister has caught up with him and now taller than him. And that makes him very frustrated sometimes. And he wants to grow tall. I said, you be active. If it's God's will, you will grow taller. But what matters is not whether you're tall or short. What matters is that you are healthy, you're growing, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know, God has used a little fellow like David to take down Goliath. So don't worry about this. Okay, what matters is that you're growing in the Lord. And then he smiled. Okay, good, that's good. Then after 2 months, he came around, Daddy, I'm not growing, you know. What's the reason? I said, son, look, are you growing in the Lord? I think so. He said, that's all it matters. Whether you physically grow or not, doesn't matter. If you are growing in the Lord, that's all it matters. You know, you will lose nothing in God's kingdom because you are short. So don't worry. I tried to encourage him. Nonetheless, when he stands with his classmates, his buddies, he feels a bit short. And he comes around and again said, Daddy, I'm not growing. I said, it's all right. I'm praying for you. Hopefully you will catch up. No, we do not know. Some people say, well, wait another 2 more years, he will be taller than his brother. Well, I just smile. I do not want to give him false hope. I'm praying, you know, I'm praying that he will grow, but it is up to the Lord whether he should grow taller than his brother or not. But it's exciting. And when I look at my first son, he's very big and strong and he stands next to me. You know, in those days when he was growing up, he will try almost every day, will come and stand next to me. Daddy, wait, let me see whether I'm of your height. Then he will tiptoe, try to see. I'm growing taller than. Now he doesn't have to do anything. He just look up, you know, you stand there and say, Daddy, and I have to look up. So that's how it is. Well, I'm happy to see him growing. I'm happy to see my second son as well, even though he's not as big as the first one. He is growing well in many ways, and I thank God for that. You know, some time ago, we put him into piano classes, and he was very excited in the beginning. Halfway through, he came around and said, Dad, I want to stop. It's very, very difficult. You know, I have to practice so many times. I said, son, that's what it's all about. I didn't ask you to learn. You wanted to learn, and if you don't work hard, you can't play. And his sister, who is younger than him, was very keen on piano, and she kept doing it very well. And the piano teacher keep commending her for doing well and keep on complaining about my second son. He's not doing enough. But recently, things have changed. He became very excited about piano, and he's doing much better than his sister. And the piano teacher said, I don't know what happened. Your son is doing much better than your daughter. And so I said, you see, if you put your heart in it, you're doing well. That's good. So you see, whenever our children do well, we are very happy, isn't it? We are very happy. There is nothing more exciting to a pastor, even to the Lord himself, who is the shepherd of our souls, than that you grow in faith. And do you know how Apostle Paul responded to it? Look at that verse. We are bound to thank God always for you. What a statement. Apostle Paul says, I'm constantly in thanksgiving because of you, my friends. The memory of you make me excited before God. It causes me to praise Him. How about one of you here is growing so wonderfully in the Lord that every memory of you make your pastor sing? Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. But actually the reason behind it is you and your faith. How about that? Better lights, that's exactly you should be. Nothing less than that. Your faith must not only grow, but also bring praise in the mouth of those who are watching over your souls. That's what a growing faith is. It brings praise in the mouth of fellow Christians, and even in the mouth of those who watch over your souls. Why don't you pray? Lord, I don't want to be a misery to those who are around me. As a Christian, I want to bring joy to my parents. I want to bring joy to my elders, to my pastor. I want to be a blessing. They may not agree with me, but my faith in Thee will see to it that all those who love God will be thankful for my life. Do you know, there is nothing so wonderful about being so selfish and die for yourself. And when you die, everybody say, "Oh, thank God, one big trouble is over." Every day you live must be a day of thanksgiving for the rest. And pray for that. Increase our faith. Let me show you just one more verse that, again, taken from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. But this time we go back to the 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Let's read together. "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." Again, he talks about the faith as having good tidings of faith. Good tidings of your faith. Joyful news about your faith. Well-nurtured faith is always a subject of much consideration and commendation because of its spiritual influence and productivity. The Roman Christians were also mentioned by Apostle Paul in his letter to them as having a strong and productive faith. Let me read to you Romans 1:8. Just listen to this. If you are quick, you may turn to that portion. Romans 1:8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." What a statement. To the Roman Christians, Paul said in Romans 1:8, "Your faith is spoken of throughout the world." Man, look at that. Faith is a matter of your heart, isn't it? It's your conviction about who Christ is and your allegiance to Him. But it has a voice. Your faith is spoken of. Because the way you live, you don't have to talk about it. Others will talk about it. Because faith is very powerful. It is influential. It blesses others. You don't have to be a rich man to be a blessing. You just need to be a man of faith. You don't have to have great talents to be a person of blessing. You just need to be a woman of faith. You don't have to be pretty and handsome, strong and powerful. You just need to be strong in your faith. You must understand this. Paul never commended any of these churches for being rich in money or full of talents. But he commended them and then praised the Lord for the great faith. Now, how to grow in faith? I'm going to bring you to a very familiar passage. Let's all turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now here we see the prerequisites to growing in faith. There are two prerequisites that are mentioned here, and we will study them very carefully as the Lord enables us this morning. Let us read together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." In verse 1, Peter warns us against sins that will hinder our spiritual growth. He then exhorts us to lay aside those sins. So, dear friends, the first prerequisite is abstinence from sins. Abstinence from sins. If you were to grow in faith, you must say bye, deliberately bye to those sins that easily beset you. You need to lay them aside. Sins should not be allowed to continue in our lives. They may pop up now and then, here and there, but we must deliberately pick them up and throw out the window. We must keep ourselves clear from those sins if we were to grow in faith. True faith is not without repentance. Please understand. If anybody say, I have faith and will not repent from his sin, his faith is dead faith. Because true faith brings us to the Savior who saves us from sin. We do not go to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in His salvation so that we may continue in sin. No, He saves us from sin and from hell. A lot of people think we believe in Jesus Christ because we don't want to go to hell. We just want to get to heaven. So once I believe, I will go to heaven, no matter how I live. That's a terrible, distorted idea about faith. Faith tells us, genuine faith tells us that salvation in Christ is a salvation first of all from sin. And that's what the scripture says. And faith accepts that. So true faith is not without repentance. And I tell you this, where there is repentance from sin, faith will also exist and grow. This truth was well embedded in the apostolic preaching. You know, that's why we read in Acts 20:21 the apostle preaching as repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God means turning away from sin to God and exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. That's why abstinence from sin is absolutely necessary. So what is repentance? It's turning away from sin unto the righteousness of God. So the reason why we want to get away from sin is because the presence of sin will prevent our growth in faith. So we must consciously seek to put away sins. Under no circumstances, we should endanger our testimony by living in any kind of sin. It's very dangerous, dear friends. Now, in this particular passage, particularly in verse 1, we are given 5 categories of sin that hinder one's spiritual growth. In fact, all sins hinder our spiritual growth. But in this passage, Peter has categorized 5 sins. Now, the reason why I said 5 categories, if you were to look into the passage, you will see they are all in plural. For example, the first category of sin he mentioned was malice. And he says, all malice. There are all kinds of malice. All kinds of maliciousness. And then if you look at the next sin he mentions, gall. He says, all gall. And then he talks about hypocrisy, but he puts that in plural, hypocrisies. The different types of hypocrisies. And then he talks about envy, and he says also in plural, envies. Then finally, evil speaking, again in plural, evil speakings. So they are all in plural forms, trying to tell us they are of different nature. You know, one may use vulgar words, another may be lying. We'll think about it as we go through each of these sins one by one. Let's begin with the first one, all malice. The word malice denotes a spirit of ill will with a desire to get even. A child of God should not even think of retaliation or hurting someone, even though that person has hurt him. Revengeful spirit will hinder us from being submissive and obedient to God. Malice is retaliation. To do something hurtful to the other. Let's say, sisters, if your husband has not done well in the family, if he has not been kind enough to do certain things that would have made things much easier in the whole family, would you therefore decide not to cook for him anymore? And tell him, I'm not going to cook because you never helped me with the washing. If you want, go and find your own food. And you feel very good. If you think God is going to bless you with great faith, you are just plain wrong. Now, husbands, if your wife has talked back to you in an insubmissive way, you stand there and say, you never submitted to me and show respect? Didn't you hear Pastor Ko preaching yesterday? Wives, submit your husbands. Boom! Better submit. It's my duty to make sure you submit. I punch you, so you will submit. Where in the Bible said that? Wives, submit yourselves. Husbands are never taught to force them to submit. It has to be voluntary from the wives because they love God. Children, you may sing in the choir. You want to go to the youth fellowship. You want to do a lot of things in the church. But you go home and have no respect for your parents because your dad said something to you which you didn't like. You abuse him with your words and temper. You think you're growing in faith? You can go 100 times to youth fellowship, you are not going to grow, and nobody is going to be blessed by your faith. There's no two way about it, okay? There's no two way about it. God is no fool. And He tells you, dear friends, if you want to grow in faith, take these sins out of your life so that God can start blessing you. So start repenting now, all right? Wherever you are, Lord, forgive me. If you don't, I'm sorry. You're not going to get any blessing from the Lord. You will pay the price for your sins. There's no two way about it. Second category of sin mentioned, all guile. The original Greek word for guile has the idea of deceit. Christians should never knowingly engage in any deceitful business or practice. It's a must. All those who are businessmen here, or whether you are businessmen or not, everyone listen. If you are dishonest, if you lie, if you untruthfully deal with others, your faith is not growing. And it will not bring praise to the Lord who died for you. God's children must be honest. And we should not desire any wealth that comes through deceit. If you desire wealth that come through deceit, it will be taken away from you by deceit also. Because you are a cheat and you will get it. I hope our churches will be filled with men and women who are honest. not only in the church, but even in their day-to-day affairs. You know, you can be a very honest treasurer in the church, but you can be a very bad, deceitful accountant outside. It's of no use. Our treasurers must be honest not only in the church, but everywhere. And not only about treasurers, everyone, everywhere, must be honest. Because lying will not help you to grow in faith. So, we must not endanger our testimony by our involvement in little tricks or deceits. A heart that is deceitful will be unwilling to accept the principles of God's word to mold the activities of life, isn't it? You know, a person who is full of maliciousness or revenge often refuse to submit to God's word. I have seen that in the cases of many people who were quarreling in the families, husband and wife. The wife says, I'm not going to change unless he change. If you want me to submit to him, let him be a loving husband. And some husbands would tell me, I'm not going to love her because she's not submissive. I went after that woman because she always quarrels with me. Huh, what a justification. The reason why I'm going after another woman because she is not submissive. Do you have it in the Bible? Who taught you that? Jesus Christ? Apostle Paul? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Is it because the church has been always obedient that Jesus loved you? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, if you want to exercise faith and grow in faith, you should pick up all this revengeful feeling and throw them away. Just like that, all sorts of gall must also be out of your heart. If you are prone to lie, when you read the scripture, you say, it's very hard. You know, who can live like that? These are idealistic principles. I'm not an idealistic person. I'm a very realistic person. That's why I lie. I can't live in this world without lying. It's a matter of fact. Come on. You know, Pastor Koshi, it's so easy for you to say don't tell lie because you always live in the church. If you live outside, it's very difficult. Now, who told you living in the church is very easy? I'm also tempted to tell lies, you know. But we are not going to grow. We need some honest men in the church. In fact, if the church is full of honest people, not that they're never tempted to lie, but they repent if they have done it, and then pray to the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. And I do not want to get into this kind of dirty business, this kind of lying attitude, this kind of cheating attitude. Last 2 months, I've been dealing with a couple in Singapore, and I had the privilege of baptizing them last Sunday. They have been coming to see me for the last 3 months. It began with the discovery of husband's adulterous life. They were non-Christians. But the sister of the lady attends our church. So when the family was in such a turmoil, this Christian lady in our church invited the couple. He said, come, you know, I will introduce you to our pastor and he will teach you God's word. The husband was very, very remorseful of what he did. But the wife was very, very adamant that she cannot love him anymore. She would say everything except the word divorce. But if you listen to her, you think she wants a divorce. But she would not say that word. That was good. It gave me a little bit of hope. Okay, she is not insisting on divorce. So I started to talk to them. The husband readily admitted all his sins. He said, Pastor, I'm a very wicked person. I'm sorry. And once he said, Pastor, the reason why I got into all this is because my wife never gave me peace at home. You know, so this lady in the office was very nice to me. And I started to share my troubles with her and ended up having extramarital affair with her. And that's what happened. I will never go back. I'm sorry. I said, well, did you say that to your wife? Yes. And this lady said, I cannot forgive him. He's such a cheat. I asked him so many times. He said, nothing, nothing, nothing. He's a liar. How can I believe him? I feel so dirty to have him around. I cannot have him near me. Oh. I said, sister, are you not also a sinner? No, I never do such things. I have no bad thoughts. I won't lie. I said, you just lied that you have no sin. It took me 2 months. Every Saturday morning, about 2 hours, I will spend with them. Every Saturday morning for 2 months. Then slowly, the husband got the courage to tell the truth also. He was scared of his wife to tell me some of the things that she has done. When he understood the Bible very well, he realized if he has to be a leader, he has to be a strong, truthful man, even before his wife, to tell her when she is wrong that she is wrong. And he said, Pastor, can I tell you something which I've never told about my wife? And these are true. We used to watch all kinds of movies, these kind of dirty movies. And she is the one who borrowed and brought the DVD into our house. Ah! She just sat back. Said, is it true? But only once or twice. I said, that makes no difference. You stop deceiving yourself. Then I raised my voice. I said, this is what lying is. You want to fix your family? Stop being arrogant and admit your mistake. Then she said, Pastor, are you angry? I said, yes. I'm very angry. For 2 months, I've been asking you to be honest with me. And you put your man down like anything, and he's so repentant, and you still give him no chance, and you expect me to waste all my time? You think I have a lot of time for you? I'm leaving my family affairs back home and coming here every Saturday morning, 2 and 3 hours with you. Then she broke down and said, sorry. I want to change. I said, look to the Lord. And they went through the catechism. Last Sunday, I baptized them. A wonderful couple. They love one another. I see them holding hands and walking around. My heart is happy. Throw away every malice and every guile in your heart. If you want to grow and be a blessing. Okay, next word. Hypocrisies. It is pretense, isn't it? Hypocrisies. Pretense. Our natural tendency is to paint a perfect picture of ourselves. And the worst possible picture of the one whom we got into trouble with. It's always the case. We often cover up our own mistakes. How often we think and act as though we are better than others, even when we are at fault. Hypocrisy is not true faith. Hypocrisy is fake faith. Hypocrisy never provides an an environment for genuine faith to flourish. Because hypocrisy always nurtures sin and suppress truth and holiness. In such an environment, faith cannot grow. So the scripture says, throw away your hypocrisy. A person can come to church and pray a long prayer. A pastor can pray a very moving pastoral prayer and yet never praying all his life. A man may be excited to lead a Bible study of the fellowship group and yet not having personal meditation of God's word daily. We don't need such people. They're not growing in faith, neither will ever help to grow the faith of the people. I've maintained this all the time in my church. If you are not a person who come to pray with the rest of the church, don't ever expect to be a deacon or an elder in the church. I hope Bethel will follow the same thing. How can you stand at the pulpit and tell everybody, this Friday night we have prayer meeting, we hope to see you, and you don't come, neither your children nor your wife would come. And you tell everybody to come. Forget about it. Don't be a hypocrite. I say that to pastors also. I know of even BP pastors who would encourage everybody to come for prayer meeting, but their own wives and children wouldn't come. Is it not hypocrisy? Look into your hearts, dear friends. I'm glad you all came for the camp. Let's ask, Lord, get it right, please. I can't fake my faith before Thee. You know all things. We must throw away hypocrisies. You want to be a good singer? It's not enough to have good voice, but you must rejoice in all the wonderful hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it must be your singing every moment. If you are going to sing a lot of worldly music and then come on Sunday and sing one hymn, you think that will be a great singing unto the Lord. No, dear friend. It's an abomination to the Lord. The next sin, next category of sin that Peter mentions is envies. And that's the fourth sin, category of sin he mentions here. It is an unwarranted desire for something that belongs to someone else. An unwarranted desire for something that belongs to someone else. This unconsciously creates a feeling of resentment against the owner. It can happen in our churches, isn't it? Somebody is appointed to be the youth fellowship president, and you feel, I should be the one. Why is he chosen? I should be the deacon. Or I should be the elder. I should have that honor. And feel so unhappy about the fact that someone is given that privilege or honor. And then badmouth the person. We call it slander. How bad it is. Oh, you made a nice bouquet of flowers. You probably have spent 50 Australian dollars to get this bouquet done. And you bring it to church, place it there. Nobody said a word to you that it was so pretty. Next Sunday, somebody brought two stalks of daisy, and it's only about $2 or $3. Put it there. And one lady, so pretty. Are these people blind? I have done so much. That's called envy. You know, when pastor preaches, you will not be listening to his message. Your mind may be full of this resentment toward the other. Or if that person is sharing, if that brother is praying, you won't be joining him in what he is praying or singing. You'll be standing there and saying, you may be nodding head or shaking head, not because you agree. You are thinking about him, how to get even with him. You think faith will grow? Bethel will not be a place where faith grows, but where sin grows. You understand? So may we pray. You know, none of us is free from these temptations and sin. And even though I preach, I'm fully aware these are the very sins that also affect me from time to time. Envy also come to my heart. I got to deliberately pick it up and throw. You see, Peter was not saying because he was never affected by it. He did. He was affected by it. Peter, James and John, they have little squabbles to find out who is the best or who is the chiefest among the disciples. There were all kinds of rivalry among them too. But Peter knew as long as they remain, he cannot grow in the Lord. And all the Bethelites, dear brethren, I love you in the Lord, okay? And that's why I speak like this. We cannot afford to have our church again marred by all the unholiness of the people. We had lots of problems in the past. Maybe all their sins were quietly encouraged. When people knew there were sins and all that, we quietly accommodated it. It cannot be. What you will get is what you sow. You reap what you sow. And we had so much of the problems because of such sins as Peter just mentioned. And they must go from your heart. If you don't pick them up and throw away with the help of the Holy Spirit, it will be again another round of such sad situations. So let us pray. Lord, all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies must go from my heart. And then one more. Take a look. Evil speakings. Evil speakings. Plural. This is the fifth category. Christians must take great care to guard their mouth against words with evil motive and purpose. Words with evil motive and purpose. Evil communications can greatly curtail Christian growth. Evil communication. You know, young people, I want to tell you something. Watch where you take your Christian friend. Watch what kind of movie you are going to watch together with another Christian friend. And if you are going to sit and listen to all the wicked nonsense of the world, you don't bring that child or that person to Christ anymore. You may call it movie-watching fellowship, but you are watching the devil's play. It's not going to help your faith grow. I don't care what concert you want to go, but if it is worldly, full of dark, unwholesome words sung in order to have dazzling effect on your soul, well, you are endangering that person. Even at home, parents, when you watch some of the movies with your family, just think what you are bringing into the heart. Evil communication. The songs that you play in your car, watch them. If they are not helping your faith to grow, they have a name: evil communication. Whether it's Sony Pictures or, BMI or whatever, their names come under this: evil communications. Watch this. If your mind is constantly fed with the filth of this world, your faith cannot grow. Faith cannot grow. You can't serve God and mammon. I said it several times by now. You can't. So, dear friends, in this category, evil communication, many types of sin can be included. Lying, cruel words, gossips or slander, dirty jokes, listening to unwholesome music, or listening to unwholesome dramas or movies or whatever. Reading unwholesome stuff. Anything that communicates that which will not glorify God and edify the saints, come under this. Evil speakings. We must abstain from it. So these five categories of sins not only mark spiritual immaturity, but also hinder spiritual growth of Christians. So if you are hoping and desiring to have the kind of growth that the Lord expects of you, then let's start examining our lives and rid ourselves of these sins. Now, do you remember the word lay aside? Lay aside all these sins? You know that word in the Greek is sometimes used to refer to removing of wax from the ear. Dig out your earwax. If these sins stay in your life, God's word will not enter. You can't hear it properly. The next thing you need to do is to grow in the word of God. You can't grow in the word of God if these sins remain. Even if you sit under sound preaching of a godly man, you will not grow if you entertain these sins. Everyone else in the church may be growing, but you alone would be stuck in your immature faith because sins are prevalent in your life. So take them out. Dig them out carefully and make your soul clean. And then, naturally, the desire for God's word will come. Now let's consider the next verse. It's amazing. Let's look at verse 2. As what? Newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Once sins go away from our heart, naturally our soul will be desperate to be filled with God's word. And what kind of desire is that? The sincere, a desire of a newborn babe for the sincere milk of God's word. Now all the mothers know what is it like to have a baby desiring for milk. Right? Do you all know? Of course. Let's say you have a baby who is very hungry and start crying. and you bring the latest toy that you got for the baby and say, "Baby, look, don't cry. Mommy got this colorful toy for you." Won't stop. Then you say, "All right, I'm going to sing all the hymns today because I have no milk for the baby." So I start from number one. You sing through 400, 500, 550, no more already. The baby will still be crying. My first son, Cornelius, was born very big. You know, he's, for Asian children's size, he was quite big. He was about 3.9 kilos. He's quite a big boy. And he was a very hungry boy. He drinks a lot. Second day, we brought him back home from the hospital. About 12 o'clock in the middle of the night, we fed him and we went to sleep. 12:15, he woke up. Oh. Mother fed him breast milk and he kept quiet. 1 o'clock, he woke up again and cried. The mother again put him on the breast and went to sleep. 1:30, he cries again. Every 20 or 30 minutes, he start waking up. At 3 o'clock, my wife said, "I'm going to die." So I said, "All right, now I see what I can do." So I'm first-time father. I take him in my hand at 3 a.m. and start to move about. "Son, don't cry. Amazing grace." All kinds of children's songs. "Jesus loves me, this I know. God is so great, so big." This fellow won't stop crying. I said, "This newborn babe got so much strength to cry." You know, at 3:30, I was standing up and rocking him in my hand. I fell asleep. And I almost dropped him. Oh Lord, I fell on my knee to catch him and said, "Lord, no, I'm not exaggerating." This boy was like that until he was 8 months old. He never let us sleep. Every 20 minutes he would wake up. Okay, on that day, by the grace of God, my mom was with us. She came from India to see her first grandson. So she was with me. So my mom woke up and said, "Why? What's the problem? Why is he crying?" I said, "Maybe he's sick. Maybe we'll go and see the doctor." So my mom said, "Did your wife feed him?" I said, "Yes, she was feeding all the time until she cannot anymore. She's so tired." "Oh, maybe he's still hungry." I said, "Cannot be, mom. He was drinking milk all the time. He was sucking the breast all the time. Should be all right." "No, son, he may be hungry." I said, "Cannot be." Then she said, "You got milk powder for babies?" I said, "Yes, we bought some." "All right, let me help you to make some milk." And she made 3/4 of the bottle that we had, milk, and asked me, "You feed him." You know what? That fellow drank all of it. And he slept from 4:30 until 8 a.m. No problem. What was his problem? Milk. If a child is grown up, you can tell him, "Shut up, you know, I have no food. You wait until I get something." You tell a baby, "You know, you shut up. No way, man." That is the desire of a newborn babe for the milk. How is it in your heart? "Pastor Koo is going to preach. I'm asleep already." There are people in the church. It's so disgusting. When everybody opens the Bible, they close the Bible and sit there. Even if the people next to them wake up. I know why some of you cannot wake up and listen to the message. Because Saturday night, the whole night, you watch TV until 3 a.m. or party the night away. And to please the parents, you come to church. Or please your wife or husband, you come. If you have been fed with evil communication, you are not going to get anything that is good into your heart. Your flesh will tell you, better sleep. If you listen too much, you cannot do the same. So don't listen too much. In case you get pricked and you repent, so don't listen. So if you abstain from sins, then the desire within you will be like the desire of a newborn babe. Now, it doesn't matter whether you are young or old. Even a very old Christian in his 90s can have a great appetite. You know, I remember my grandfather. He was a wonderful Christian. When he was 87, he lost his eyesight. He cannot read the Bible he loves so much. He will take the Bible in the morning and sit on his rocking chair with the Bible, but he can't read. And he will call the grandchildren. I was one of his favorite ones to read the Bible. And he would say, son, thus, come here. So I would go, okay, you open the Bible. And where did I stop yesterday morning? You remember? Is the bookmark there? Okay, now you read for me. And do you know what? Sometimes when I read, my grandmother will also join. And she has an excellent memory. When I start reading, she will recite. And if I go wrong, he said, no, you just read something wrong. It's not the word. The word should be this way. He said, oh yeah, mom, you're right. Even at the age of 94, 1 year before she died, she had great appetite for God's word, even though she was blind. She would make even her mates read to her the Bible. It's not the age that matters. They were not educated people. They were humble farmers, but they loved God's word. How about you? Is your faith growing? You know, even when you're about to die, your faith must grow, you know. Even when you take the last breath, your faith has to grow, you know. Because you've got to believe, I'm going into the valley of shadow of death, but I cannot fear any evil. The Lord is with me. Oh, can somebody read Psalm 23 to me? I would like to die with somebody reading to me God's word. Be wonderful. Well, if it is God's word to take me home, then it's fine. I pray that the memory of God's word will fill my mind. So, dear friends, how to grow thereby? Abstain from all these sins and desire the sincere milk of God's word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us this morning. Clearly from your word, how to grow. Please grant us the desire that is necessary to grow in faith. The desire for God's word. So that its wisdom, its truth may be our strength. Please forgive us where we have gone wrong. Because of our many sins and shortcomings, we have not been the blessing that we ought to be. Many a time, we became a burden to our spouses. Many a times, we have not been a blessing that we ought to be to our children. Many a times, we have not been the kind of leaders we ought to be in our churches. Because we have not done what the Scripture has required of us. We want to change, Father, according to the word that you have spoken to us. So may you make us believing husbands, believing fathers, believing wives, believing children, believing pastors, believing elders, believing and growing deacons. May all of us grow in the word of God, away from sin, unto the righteousness of God, and make Bethel a place of faith, growing faith, and a place of much blessing and praise to the name of Christ. Help us, hear us, O Lord, and in the name of thy Son we pray. Amen.